And what I mean by that is the Word of God. It has to be first place and final authority. A lot of folk don't realize, know what that is and don't think it makes any difference. I'm going to make just a few examples. I've been endeavoring to practice it for 30 years, and I'm still working on it today in other areas, And it's something you can get it down, and I mean you can master it, and then you can utilize it. I mean all the time in your life, It's kind of like getting saved, After I got saved, devil come to me. You didn't really get saved. And I told him, I said, I was there. Don't try to convince me. I was there in that room, dude, But he was trying to get me to doubt my salvation, And the Word said, whosoever shall call. And I didn't even know what the Word of God said. But it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, I called upon the Lord that day, and I got saved, And he tried to talk me out of it. And that only happened for a short period of time, maybe 2 or 3 weeks or whatever. And I finally told him, I said, you might as well shut up. I'm saved. I'm not going to doubt my salvation. Well, once I did that, see, the Word was established in my heart. And I done confessed with my mouth, believed in my heart on the Lord, called on Him. And I began to learn, as we go, how many knows we can grow till Jesus comes back? We can develop and we can walk in. Our faith can increase. We can work our faith and exercise our faith just like we do natural things. And we can increase to where storms come and you're not moved at all because you are living a lifestyle of faith. You're not going to move out of it. But the only way to do that really is to make God's Word. Jesus, number one, is the foundation for everything. He's the chief cornerstone. Without Him, the Word don't really mean nothing. Not that it don't mean anything. It's not going to do anything without Jesus in our life. The Bible says no man comes to the Father but by the Son, through Jesus. But after that, learning to take God's Word and make it first place in final authority is, vital. It's vital. It's vital for your marriage. It's vital for your finances. It's vital for your health. Come on, somebody. I say it all the time. Lord, your Word said, just told him yesterday, I was standing up there and I just stood up all of a sudden. I said, Lord, I thank you. You've already given me a long, satisfied life. I already have it, and you're showing me through it your salvation. That's not the first time I've said that. That's in my mind. That's in my heart. That's first place, final authority. Now, my body tries to tell me different things at times, so that's when I come up and I say, nope, God's Word, I thank you, Lord. Come on, somebody, you hear what I'm saying? That's what fighting the good fight of faith. That's Teresa talked about having the Word and no corresponding actions. Your faith is lying dormant. It's powerless. It don't bring forth no fruit. What does that mean? It's not going to bring forth that long, satisfied life. Right? Hallelujah. You got to believe the Word. You got to let it be first place, final authority. It reminds me, this one incident, I was bought some land. The Lord had brought some land to me and Travis. And it all had to be cleared off. They had clear cut it, stumps and all that. And y'all know the story. But I bought this big machine, this big excavator. And it was huge. And 55,000 pound machine, big machine, dig those stumps up with. Well, a month or so into it, it started leaking fluid into where the pumps are on it, And so it wasn't working, I had to stop that fluid. So I shut her down and everything and go back there. And I'm like, oh my God, how am I going to fix this? And because the pumps were like huge, they're like 15 inch tires and it's got two big pumps on it, they're huge, And I'm looking at that thing and I thought, I cannot fix it. I can't fix it. I just can't fix this, And all of a sudden I thought, that's not what the Bible says. So I thought, Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. How many knows that's what your Bible says? Paul said, I can do all things through Christ. Now I'm turning to first place the Word. I'm taking the Word now over my thoughts. I'm taking the word and saying nothing is impossible. Luke 9:23 says, with God all things are possible to those that believe. Now, that's taking God's word now and saying this is first place in my mind, in my heart. And it's going to come. And I looked at that machine and I said, I will fix you in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. I thought I'll never find the seal. And I thought, God knows where that seal is. Well, don't the Bible say in Proverbs 3 over there, he said, acknowledge the Lord in all of our ways, right? About the pump. About whether you can or can't do. About whether you can or cannot walk in divine health. God's word is full of his promises. And the Bible says that the promises of God are in Jesus. Yes and amen. And amen means so be it. That means it's done deal. See, and I was thinking about it this morning. I've heard it over the years. You know, people, well, you know, God, just believing God for his will to be done. God's will to be done. God's in control. God is not in control of me eating cereal. God is not in control of what I say. God is not in control of everything on this planet. If he was, the jails and prisons wouldn't be full. The graves of dead children and all of that wouldn't be happening. It's very clear to see that God's perfect will is not taking place on this planet. It's not hard to see, really. John 10:10 shows you right there and gives you a clear picture of what's good and what's evil. Jesus said, I come that you might have life and have it more abundant, right? That means life to the full till it overflows. But the thief comes but to what? Steal, kill, destroy. You see, stealing, killing, and destroying, that's a manifestation of darkness. Right? It's very clear. So, to me now, if I see the thief in my life trying to get me to believe and just take on sickness and all of that, you know, I could have laid out of church this morning. I had to lay my hands on my shoulders. I don't know, my muscles was attacked in my neck and different things, you know. Praise God, hallelujah. And I just jumped up, slapped my hands on my neck like soldiers are supposed to. Come on, somebody, Christians. We're not supposed to lay down. I mean, I could have called Brad and said, hey, I can't go to church, man. I mean, I'm attacked this morning. I mean, you know, and all of that. That's not his job. My job is to take authority over that in the name of Jesus. So I just jumped up, slapped my hands on my shoulder and neck, and I said, I bind you right now in the name of Jesus. By Jesus, right? 1 Peter 2:24, first place, right? Final authority. I put it final authority, and you know where I am? Right here. And all of it left me. Every bit of it left me. And I felt like I can't get up there and preach. I felt like I've got, you know, this is making me nauseated. All kinds of things happening this morning. I'm not just telling you my story. I'm telling you every one of us has to take the Word of God as Christians. It's not that these things are just going to automatically happen in our life. The Bible says for us to lay hold. Fight the good fight. 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight and lay hold. And that it don't mean that Christians are just, you know, a lot of them don't really realize that this is going to impact me. This is going to leave me. My finances are going to come because everything's already been supplied. Jesus hung on the cross and he said, it is finished. He even taught the disciples back there about natural finances. He told him, he said, go. He said, don't take no purse. Don't take nothing with you. Don't take no money. Don't take none of that. He was even before he ascended, he went out, and I don't know how long, maybe a month or so later, he back with them, and he said, what did y'all lack? And they said, we lacked nothing. I mean, how'd they lack nothing? They didn't take nothing. That's exactly right. I saw that in there, and the Lord told me, he said, didn't Paul tell, this is about 28 years ago, he said, didn't Paul say that his God will supply all of your needs? He said he was talking about them givers. Paul wasn't talking about everybody. Paul was talking to the givers. He was talking to them over that was partnering with his ministry, that was given to the work of the ministry. And he told them, he didn't tell all the rest of them, He told that church, he said, for church in Philippi, because they were the ones that was helping him go preach the gospel. He said, and that's what the Lord told me. He said, you can't lay hold of the promises. You won't have faith if you're not a doer. He said, if you're not tithing, he said, it's hard for you to believe the windows of heaven opened up for you. He said, if you're complaining about being sick and all of that all the time, he said, it's hard for you to believe and receive what I've already done for you. And I mean, I've heard it, you know, heard people say, well, God's trying to teach me something. God's trying to, with some kind of sickness or being broke or whatever, you know, and I'll be like, well, what scripture are you basing that on? Well, it's happening in the natural, Brother Scotty. I said, what scripture are you basing that on that God is doing this to you? I said, don't the Bible say that all good things come from God? Well, how can that be good when you ain't got enough money to feed your family? How can that be good? That's not God teaching you to humble you. That's not going to humble you. That's going to make you angry. And I told them, but I would always tell them, not getting on to them, say, look, if you believe it's God against you, you can't believe for him to bail you out. I said, Satan will come in there and fool you. I said, you've got no biblical scripture base what you're believing on. You've got to believe what the Word says. See, that's taking God's Word. And when we do that, Satan begins to lose ground of deceiving us. The truth, the Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. He didn't say the preacher make you free. He didn't say your neighbor praying for you make you free. He said, if you continue in my words, then are you my disciple. That means you continually walking in this thing. You're not hit and miss. I started out hit and miss for years. But God, I finally, I thought about it one time. I thought, what's the use, man? Every time I try this, something else happens. That's when you're in those testing grounds, you know, to see what you're going to do with the Word of God. You're in those testing grounds. I mean, just like the big, I just left that track hoe. I thought, I got to leave right now. So I go off and I thought, I'll never find that seal. So I tried to find the name of it, and it was come from down south and blah, blah, blah. And they were discontinued. Nowhere in the world could I find one. I mean, not overseas or anywhere. Internet, people that I called, you know, I could not find that seal anywhere. So I went and I pulled it down. I thought, in the name of Jesus, this is going to work. I pulled that seal down, took machines. Lord giving me wisdom. I was leaning on him. But I'd made up my mind, I can do it in Jesus' name. I can do all things through the one who strengthens me. Now see, that might not mean anything in that little situation, but what about you? Your hardship at work, your hardship in your marriage, your hardship when it seems impossible, when it seems impossible that you're going to have a bright future, when it seems impossible that you're studying. No, you got to come back to that Word, and you got to say, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Well, I pulled that thing out, got that seal out, took it down 1 mile. 1 mile. Went in that part. Lord said, take it down there. I thought, there is no way that a little bitty parts house in Bluntsville, one red light, and I can't find this all over the world, is going. But I thought, okay, I'm not going to lean to my own understanding. See, people lean to their own understanding. They don't go to the little store where the answer is. I go down there. He come back and had one. He said, I don't know how in the world we even got one of them, but it matches perfect. It was $5. I win in Jesus' name. Now, it took me 3 days to do this. It wasn't no little ordeal. I mean, it wasn't like snap it out, snap it in, man. You know, and I put that in and cleaned off the rest of that property with it. Never leaked again, praise God. And I mean, I'm on there and I'm like, glory to God. What if I had a thought, I can't do it? What if I'd have thought, there's no way I can do it? I can't do it. And I thought, that's the power of God's Word in my life personally, of first place and final authority. And then setting out, then when you do that, you got faith. And then faith is a motivating force that causes you to look past the big machine, look past, it causes you to see that seal in there, and I mean motivates you to go do whatever you got to do, and He strengthens you to get it done. Just like Travis is out there building, going to build his shop. And he's got some trees in the way. And it's dry, hard, ground hard. He's out there, and I'm in that first tree. He gets on that thing, and it ain't coming up. He digs and digs and digs. I mean, and then he hits rock on both sides of it, you know, big sand rock and all of that stuff, you know. And that tree tried to stop him. That tree tried to stop him. It tried to discourage him because it can't come up. I mean, no dig as far down as I can go and all of that stuff, you know, and I'm fired down. See, that might not mean anything to you, but what's trying to discourage you? What's trying to discourage you about your life and your future and your marriage and your workplace? What's trying to get in there and discourage you? You know, it might not be a tree. You've got your shot. But you know, what's your life? What is it that's trying to discourage you? What is it, your body? Helmets in your body? What is it you bought? Look, this guy, this Christian came to work down there. I'm 5 months old in the Lord. Came to work down there where I worked, and he says, I can't stay here. Brother Scotty, I mean, I can't stand all this cussing. They're degrading me in there and all that stuff, you know, and thinking down on me. And I said, oh, quit praying. I said, I'm a Christian. I said, just come on in at 5 in the morning and watch how they do me. I said, then yours ain't too bad. I said, just watch how they do me. I said, see what it is. I said, Satan wants to run you off from your place of faith and love so that these people don't see your light shine and keep you running from the enemy like you can't take nothing. I said, but God wants you, and I'm trying to encourage the dude now. I'm not going to quit. I quit all my life, but God, I ain't no devil big enough. I ain't no army of people that's religious, and they go into church, but they ain't even right. I fit in with them till I got saved. Christians. I fit in with them till I got saved. Once I got saved, it was like, whap. I mean, it's just like they just slammed the door on me out of their life. It's like I was the worst thing ever happened to them. And I'm like, what's wrong with all? I told them one day at the time clock, I said, man, what are y'all doing? I'm just trying to serve Jesus, and y'all were trying to make it hard for me. I didn't understand. My lifestyle then, my love, my not cussing, my not getting mad and all that was making them ill. It was getting on their nerves, you know. And so, but see, what I didn't realize then, that's going to take me up and up and up in God, in love and in faith, and being able to believe God for a house and believe God for this ministry and believe God to be worldwide and it happened and believe God. We're just getting started. Somebody said, well, how are you going to do that? You mean people just don't, you ain't got all that many people. Oh, I've got legions of angels. Come on, somebody. If God be for you, you ain't got to have but just God and His Word on it. And then you've got to do like Teresa was talking about. Look, I sit here discouraged at times on a bucket because God was telling me to do this building and not to borrow any money. And I didn't have no money, you know. And so I'd sit here as long as I could, and I'd get up and I would go out. And then I'd just proclaim to the Lord. I'd say, thank you, Lord, you're enlarging my vision. You're enlarging me so I can see it, God. You're enlarging my territory, God. What was I doing? I was putting the Word first place over the discouragement. I had to do it. You got to do that. It don't make no difference what it is. But you know what? That I told that Christian, I said, look, man, I said, I understand. I said, they hitting lines of cocaine in the truck, and I used to hit it with them, toting sheetrock and stuff, and, you know, with, you know, and all of that. I said, but I'm not doing it. They can cuss me all they want. I said, if Jesus is your Lord, like you say, then you can bear up because He's already bore the pressure for you. In other words, if you work for somebody that's not quite treating you like a little baby or something, don't quit crying. Your father in heaven, don't run from it. Because there's going to be one worse. There's going to be one word. God's going to help you find that word where you're going to walk in love. No matter, you're going to endure hardship as a good soldier. I believe he sent Teresa to me in Sandpaper. I ain't got no rusty spots too much left on me, just a few. You know, they get them off, and I take the primer, the word, the shield of faith. And somebody told me the other day, they said, "Whoo, you and Teresa has been married a long time." I said, "I've had a lot of grace." They looked at me and laughed, and I said, "So has she." I said, "We've had to learn to walk in God to walk together. Me and her can't walk together without walking in God." And we endeavor to take the word of God about our marriage, about our finances. We're in agreement with our finances. I mean, we're in agreement that when I leave here, I'm going to leave a lot of wealth. I'm not even after money. Money's after me. Money's after you. The Bible says in Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord. See, now that word has to be first place right there on the blessing. Somebody told me the other day, he said, "Well, you know, the gospel is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John." I said, "No, it's not." I said, "That's not the gospel." I said, "That is the accounts, Matthew's account, Mark, Luke, and John's account of Jesus." I said, "The gospel was preached all the way back to Abraham." The gospel was, the Bible says it. I got that out of the Bible. The gospel was preached to Abraham. I said, that is their account of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I said, but the gospel was actually preached. The covenant blessing came through Jesus. On Him and in Him. And that's why when He comes on in us, the blessing comes into our life. The life of Jesus is already blessed. It's already blessed. But the first place and final authority of God's Word. See, the Bible says, I know I had a lot of religious thinking. Mom and them would take us to church every now and then, take us to that church. And then I heard all the opinions about what church ought to be, how it ought to be, how Christians ought to be. I had all these opinions. Then I had opinions from people that didn't believe in this, and they indoctrinated you with that. And then they didn't believe in this, and they didn't believe you should have any money. They believed you should be broke and all that stuff if you're going to be a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Bible says in Romans 12:2, it says, "Do not be conformed with the customs of this world, the way they think, the way they act, the way they are, the way they do, the way they believe, the way they say." You know, he said, but be transformed. He's telling me back then, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay, then I begin to say, okay, I'm not going to go with the opinions of others. I'm going to take the Word of God. I'm going to put God's Word first place in Romans 12:2 and final authority. I'm going to renew my mind to God's Word, and thank you, Father God, that I'm being transformed. I'm not going to be conformed anymore. I'm not going to sit there and tell the jokes anymore. I'm not going to sit there and talk my old lady anymore. She's my wife. She's my helpmate. I begin to change my thinking on that. I begin to change my thinking. You know, they would say, "How's your better half?" And I'll say, "No, we're one." I had to change it because I'm not going to be conformed anymore to the world. You know, I'm going to be transformed by the renewing of my mind, that I will walk out the will of God, that I will know what the will of God is. Perfectly well. I know perfectly well that long, satisfied life is mine according to God's Word. I know, praise God, that I'll never get a divorce. And I've had people say to me, you just don't know what could happen. You just don't know what could happen. And I say, well, I'm not going outside of God's Word thinking about it. Well, what if she does this? What if she don't? What if my faith keeps her? What if my faith shields her? What if my faith stops the enemy from the inevitable that you say could happen? Divorce rate is bigger in the church than it is in the world. That should not be. The world should be acting crazier than the church, right? That tells me that there's a lack of renewing of the mind. And if a lack of renewing of our mind, we will walk by the soulish rim. We'll go by what the track hole looks like, and it looks impossible, and I just won't do it. But it didn't look impossible through the eyes of God. and through the eyes of faith. How many knows faith will cause you to see straight? It'll cause you to see right. But see, what Satan wanted me to do is get out of there and that to get me discouraged and just quit. Well, you know what? I didn't quit. That whole thing's cleaned off, praise God. I got the whole thing by faith cleaned off. Three puns built on it by faith, through faith and in Him and His strength and His ability and supplying my needs, and got the whole 40 acres fenced in. I done built a barn. This all happened in 5 years through faith. My other barn blowed down. I built back bigger and better. All of that could have discouraged me, you know. But and I'm telling you this, not just telling you my story. This is the walk of our life. The Bible says in Psalms 119, 130, it says, the entrance of the Word brings light. The entrance of God's Word. Just like this. I was reading in there one day after they told me, a bunch of preachers told me, you know, I told them, I'm called to preach, man. I'm called to preach. I was kind of excited about it. And they said, boy, you signed up for poverty. And I looked at him and I said, what does that mean? He said, well, preachers they're just broke. I said, they are? And I said, well, I got a job, so it don't matter. I'm called to preach, you know. He said, well, preachers, you know, you're going to get real used to chicken. You're going to get real used to chicken necks. I said, I like chicken dumplings, but I don't like chicken necks. Anyways, I went on. I thought, oh, well, if that's the way it is, bless God, well, praise God, hallelujah. He saved me down there, didn't commit suicide, my wife's bag. I got my family bag, you know. Well, I'm reading in there one day, and I read across where it says, Jesus took on Himself poverty that you might be made rich. And I said, wait a minute, what did that say? I read that again. I said, I'm going to read that again. Jesus took on Himself poverty that you might be made rich. And it hit me. I thought, they're lying to me. This Bible says this. And I thought, bless God, this is mine. I'm not listening to that. I'm going to listen to this right here, bless God. If Jesus took poverty on, then they said, well, Jesus, he didn't have no money. He didn't have nowhere to lay his head. And then I read in there where Judas betrayed him. Judas stole money out of there. Judas was stealing Jesus' money? And I thought, how, if Jesus was broke, did he have money? Had a treasure. He had somebody keeping up with his money. And I thought, that's another lie. Well, these things was renewing my mind to the Word of God. And then I thought, glory to God, if Jesus took on poverty that I might be made rich, then I want to know how to get it. I want to know how do I walk in this. I want to know how I get what Jesus took on Him so I could have. If He took poverty and became poor, I know it's talking about spiritually, but He's talking about our whole life. You see, I told the Lord, somebody told me one time, they said, well, you know, He's talking about spiritual stuff. And the Lord spoke to me later on concerning that, because I'm asking Him about it. And He said, you were bankrupt spiritually. You were dead spiritually. But when you called on Me and I came in, you became rich spiritually. You became rich spiritually once you got born again. You can't get no more right with God in your spirit no matter what you do in this body. You can do all the things right out here, but you're already right on the inside. Now you can hinder the growth of the righteousness of God and all of that, you know. And I thought, glory to God. I thought, you know, he told Peter, you know, I started reading these stories. You have to watch what people say. I'm not just down on people, praise God, but don't let nothing build you but the Word. Let the Word of God be the foundation for what you believe. If you believe your family's saved, it can look like they're going to bust hell wide open. Don't you bend on that. You stand on that Word and you tell the Lord and you praise Him and say, God, You said if I would serve You, You would save my whole house. You know, I've stood on that for years and I see most of my family is saved today. Most of my family is walking with the Lord, best I can tell today. Now, that wasn't so back under. I thought, it's going to take a miracle, man. It's going to take a miracle. Well, standing on that Word that my family is not going to go to hell. My family's not going to miss hell. They're not going to miss what God has for them here. Praise God. But Psalms 119, put that, well, you did. Now, I'll put this 129 and 30 up there, Beth. Oh, it is? Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doeth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. So the entrance of God's word, you know, when I got revelation, you know, of confession. At that time, my pastor is telling me, you know, I mean, it was just real. When I say revelation, it just came real to me because I was getting in Proverbs, reading Proverbs over our death and life. It's in the power of the tongue. Then going to Genesis and finding out how God established things down here. The Holy Spirit moved upon the face of the earth. And then God said, let there be light. And God said, and God said, and God said. I mean, God spoke things into existence. And then over there in Romans over there where he said, and God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things that be not as though they were. You know, when I got that, you know, and I'm like, well, that's God. Then I run across scripture where it says, as God is, so are we. Y'all know the scripture. I brought it out here. As God is, so are we in this earth, the Bible says. And so I started thinking, okay, man, you know, this thing, you know, that's why seekers won't get revealed these things. It's the simple. The ones that don't seek him, they won't get revealed. It's the simple. The people that simply go to God, trust God, ask God. I asked him about prosperity, and he started showing me in the Word of God. I'm anointed to teach God's people how to prosper. These people left here, and they'd say, well, we don't know about prosperity. They'd say, if you want to learn how to prosper, go over to Faithway Christian Center. Let God over there, you'll learn how to prosper. He teaches the Bible on it. You know, teaching the Bible on prosperity. But money's at the bottom of the list with God. He'd rather us be right with Him, walking with Him, seeking Him, acknowledging Him, you know, trusting in Him. The more that I know that I got to trust the Lord. I got to have confidence in Him to back up His Word, you know, and to bring the things to pass in my life. Just like 2 Corinthians, put that 2 Corinthians 10 up there, Ben. For though we walk, that's why Satan don't want you in the Word. I'm not talking about coming here and getting a sermon once or twice a week. That's good, you know. But I didn't get a lot of my revelation through preaching like that. I got a lot of revelation through my time with the Lord, asking the Lord, Lord, is prosperity real, God? God, is tongues real? You know, people taught me against it. I saw Teresa get baptized in it. Going to the Lord and asking the Lord about these things that people were saying that was contrary to the Word of God and asking God, God, give me light. You know, and the Bible says that the entrance of the Word brings light. And then Mark 4 bears it out. You know, the sower sows the Word, and we go through these different stages, you know, there's four different types of ground there, you know, it talks about in Mark 4, but it's talking about the sower sows the Word. He's talking about the Word being seed. The Word is seed. And when you plant it in your heart, it begins to bring a harvest. You know what? I didn't like this guy. His name was Coleman Lackey. And he was in revival at our church, and I didn't like him because he'd tell you, don't read, look up here. That would make me so mad. I mean, I would get my Bible and look at it anyways. I'm like, he ain't telling me what to do in church, man. You stupid man, tell me. I hadn't been saved very long. I was saved about 4 or 5 months, you know. And I was still rebellious. I didn't realize how rebellious I was till it was revealed to me, and God began to help me to humble myself. God won't humble you, but God will let you know if you're arrogant, you know, where you can humble yourself, and He'll exalt you. But anyhow, I left that night, and I'm griping to Teresa about it. Tell me what to do. Tell me, look here. Don't read. Look up here. I mean, that would make me mad. You know, that was my flesh. Well, go on, Teresa. She's all excited. Oh, it's good. I'm like, good. She got to be off her rocker, man. It ain't good. I dread going home, going back. You know, and I thought, I hate it. I thought, but black God, it's in my church, and I need to go to church. And so anyhow, after about 3 or 4 nights, and he was preaching on love can't be offended. That's what he was preaching on. I thought, it's stupid anyways. Love can't be offended. Stupid, man. Love? What are you talking about? You know, well, There was an atmosphere there, and his name was Jesus. He was preaching the Word of God, and I was going along with the Word of God, you know, and he was preaching on love. That's all he preached on the whole revival. The last night I left there, and something had happened to me. I go start the Word the next morning, and I felt like I was in love with the world. I felt like, my God, I stopped at the store, and I wanted just to hug that guy, drag him across the counter and hug him, man. I mean, it's just, I mean, honestly, it was supernatural, because that's not me. That's not me. I want to jump across there most times, because I don't have money to rob it if I knew I'd get away with it, you know. But you know what? What happened? The entrance of God's Word brought light. I've been a changed man ever since. That revival changed me, and that's been 29 years ago, 29 and a half years. I've never been the same, because what happened is what was in me was stirred up by the Holy Spirit. See, the Bible says in Romans 5, it says, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. You know, I mean, love came in. God came in. He's God. The Holy Spirit is God. You know, He came in, and that changed my life forever. You know, it wasn't that I didn't have it. It's that I wasn't open to it until God sent this man. God knew this man was coming. God knew what word he is supposed to preach and everything. And had God not done it, I sure wouldn't be up here today, you know, ministering. But then I thought all day long that next day, I thought, man, I'm going to walk in this. I got to have this all the time. You could not make me mad at the time clock. You could not, I mean, cars pulling out in front of me. Normally I come unglued and all that and try to run them over and all, you know, get right up on their bumpers because they're going to the next red light and stuff. I mean, I would be angry, you know. And all of that, I'm like, oh, you know, they don't realize what they're doing. You know, all of that stuff, praise God. And I thought, man, this is awesome right here. You know, this is awesome. Had somebody just tell me here just a few years ago, now I was under a great bit of pressure and different things. I had to come out of heart surgery and everything, and my body wouldn't let me do what I wanted to on the inside, my mind or anything, because I mean that my body went through a great stressful thing there, you know, and everything, and can't even totally played and, you know, and all of that stuff, and people telling you, oh, it's going to be a long road to recovery, Brother Scott, you've got a long road. Long, hard road. I wouldn't listen to none of that. I wouldn't just say anything to anybody, praise God, but I'd tell my body, you going to hurry up. It's what you're going to do. You're going with me. You're going to do what I say. What was I doing? I was putting God's word, first place, final authority. Where'd you get that? Isaiah 58. You know, he says, my health will spring forth speedily, right? Take God's word, first place, final authority, praise God. And so, anyhow, you know, I went through that process, praise God. But you know what? I experienced a speedy recovery because of what I was standing on and believing God for. Arthritis has tried to attack me. I won't have it. I just won't have it. It's tried to attack me. My arm's locked up before. I went, you know, crippling arthritis and all that and be like, that's in, getting in your joints. Runs in my family, some of it. But you know what? I got a new identity. The Bible says that I died, right? You died, right? And you became a new creation. All things passed away, and behold, all things become new, and all things are of God. Hallelujah. But 2 Corinthians, put that up there, and I'm going to close with this. Yeah. For though we walk in the flesh, this natural body, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. But it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing how many thoughts? Bringing all of every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now what that means is whenever my mind or circumstances says it can't be done, I cast it down. I cast it down because the Bible, and then I come back and replace it. Casting it down is really not good enough, you know. You got to come back and replace it, you know. It's kind of like the Lord told me one time. He said, you can't listen to secular music and grow spiritually. Talking to me, you know. And I thought, oh, man, that's stupid. That can't be God, you know. This can't be God. And then I read the scripture in Isaiah. It says, those whose minds, he said, I'll keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on WZZK. Whose mind is stayed on the past. Whose mind is stayed on all their hurts. Whose mind is stayed on all their troubles. All the things they can't, don't have. No. He said he'll keep me in perfect peace if my mind is stayed on the Lord. And so one time I thought, I can't be, you know. And so I done decided I was going to listen to Christian music. I ain't listened to secular music in years. Just the other day, a bunch of heathens on the job had banging music going on, you know. Some like Rock 99, you know. I didn't even cut it off, you know, because I'm not all religious. I can tune that out. I didn't sing that. Singing that song, I'm on the highway to hell. And I walked over one of them guys and I said, I'm not on that highway. That dude that works for me, I'm on the highway to hell. You know that song. Yeah. I went over to him, looked up at him, and I said, hey, yeet. He looked at me and said, yeah. I said, I'm not on that highway. I'm on the highway, a different highway. Well, see, I ain't got to sing that junk. I sure ain't going to sing I'm on the highway to hell. Right? That's what being conformed to this world. Well, I go to listen to secular music, brings back all the pain, all the trouble me and Teresa had and all that stuff. Brings all of that back. That's what God was talking about. It may not affect everybody like that, but it did me. So I turned my radio on preaching going down the road while I was truck driving. I'm listening to preaching. I'm listening to a woman preacher that I was told couldn't be anointed of God. Her name was Joyce Myers. When I seen her face, it shocked me. It didn't line up with her voice. And you know, turned it on, they said, Joyce Myers. And I said, that can't be that woman. That can't be that one I've been listening on the radio. Charles Capps. When I seen him for the first time, I thought, that don't even line up with him, man. I'd listened to him for a year or so and didn't even know. Had never seen him, you know. Praise God. But you know what? I started growing spiritually because I shut out that all of that secular stuff. By my choice, not by religion. My church didn't even tell me. They didn't even tell me. God began to tell me. I wore a muscle shirt. I used to wear, they call them wife beaters now. Wore a muscle shirt, you know, that arrogant stuff. It was just that Western stuff, whatever. You know, and the Lord told me one time, he said, I want you to stop wearing them. I just convicted on the inside. I thought, oh, man, God, you know. I mean, he quit letting me go without a shirt first. He didn't want me to, you know, go without a shirt anymore. I used to work without a shirt, all kind of stuff, you know. And then he dealt with that. And I complied with that, you know. I complied with that and everything. And you know what it done? It was actually taking me up over my enemy, and I didn't even know it. These little steps of obedience to the Lord, hallelujah. And see, that brings you to a place to where God, you're going to put God first. You want what God wants. You're going to do what God wants. And then anything that gets in the way of what you know to be the will of God for you, then you get the Word of God and you renew your mind to it and you put God's Word first place, final authority, and then you will see the results of that Word of the kingdom come to pass in your life. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. And Lord, we